In 1991, the Learning Lab started as an adult literacy project at the Junior League of Boise to address the needs of the workforce of the future. And within a few years, the lab added a family literacy program where adult students could bring their young children with them and learn together. The Learning Lab continues to grow with the help of generous donations and too many volunteers to count. And in the past 25 years, going on 30 rather, they've provided basic skills education to more than 3,500 students. Joining me live in studio today is Monique Smith, Interim Director of the Learning Lab, and one of the Learning Lab's educators, Renee Johns. Thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thank you.
Renee, tell me about the Learning Lab and really how it got started. This was really visionary in 1991 to think about a program like this and for it to be sustainable.
I'm gonna take that. It started as a response to the community in the workforce. And through the years, Learning Lab has morphed and changed a little, still in response to the needs of the community is what I would say. And trying to help people gain the skills that they need to be self-sufficient, to work, to help their children. And so probably the biggest change was when we started getting more refugees coming to Boise. Whereas before we would teach literacy skills, reading, writing to people from Boise, now we are teaching those skills to people from around the world.
And that's what I recognize with the Learning Lab is the refugee population and how you help the refugee population. And we've seen a huge influx in that. And Renee, tell me as an educator, you know, what's that like? Because you have people coming in who are highly educated, frankly, when many refugees are, but they happen to not speak English. And they have to also acclimate to our culture.
Sure. It's a challenge. We don't usually have people who just arrived in the last few weeks, although occasionally we do. A lot of times people have settled in a little bit before they sort of find us and have maybe had a few classes at the English Language Center or something like that. But there's still, I think, in addition to, you know, the pedagogical concerns, we also try to build community so people feel like they have a safe place to come. They have people they know, people that care about them, which goes a long way to helping someone relax enough to learn.
And Monique, with this idea of adults being able to bring their children, and how does that affect how they learn? But the mission of the Learning Lab, which is literacy for all.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The family literacy program is really, really unique. I haven't really found anything like it in the area. In this program, kids who have not yet entered school come with their a parent most times, but it's not always a parent. It might be an aunt. It might be a grandmother. It might be a custodial adult. And the kids go into their appropriate classroom. We have an infant toddler classroom, a preschool classroom, and then the adult goes into his or her adult classroom. And then they come together during that last half hour. It's called packed time, parent and child together time, and work. The gist of that, the underlying message of that program is to help parents become their child's first and best teacher and give them the skills that will help promote their child's skills. And the adult educators are involved with that. Their early literacy is involved in that, so it is a family affair.
I'm speaking with Monique Smith, Interim Director of the Learning Lab, and Renee Johns, an adult educator at the Learning Lab. And every year you have a huge fundraiser, and you always showcase a learner.
Yes.
And when you hear their stories, you realize the depth and the breadth of what literacy does for a person. And Renee, talk to me about that when you see someone, when that aha moment, when it all comes together. Because I think for those of us who learned how to read as little kids, we don't necessarily appreciate what it is like to walk through life not knowing these basic skills.
Sure. As you mentioned earlier, a lot of our students are highly educated and just need to learn English. But we do often have students who don't read and write in their own language. And that's a huge struggle to not only learn to read, but to learn to read in another language. So often the light bulb moment is when they start to realize that the letters have sounds and that you use those letters to make a word. And then it's like, opening up Pandora's box, like, oh, well, okay, I can do this. Who knew? But it can be a long struggle to get to that point, to learn as an adult. So it's fun. It's fun to see them, as you say, to see the light go on and start to go, oh, I have the ability to do this, something maybe they didn't know in their own country they'd ever be able to do.
And Monique, am I understanding this right, that this is free? This is free to people, or how do they qualify? And then how is this sustainable?
And sustainable for so long.
For so
long. It's amazing, isn't it?
Right.
97% of our students are low income, very low income. We have an extremely generous support system through individual donations, Lunch for Literacy, as you mentioned, grants, foundations. Our libraries provide space for us. It's unbelievable community support. I think because it was born in the community, it is sustained by the community in a very, very real way. And it just is, it's incredible. I wanted to touch on something that Renee talked about that I think is also vital in adult learning, particularly, is our classes are communities. They are welcoming for everyone, no matter where they're from. And that community helps build confidence in the learner. And I would you agree, Renee, when mm-hmm. you see the confidence happen,
sure,
that's when the learning takes place. Mm-hmm. And that's really an, I don't know, aha, because it takes some time, but it's really fun and rewarding to see. And I also have to plug our gazillion volunteer tutors. We couldn't do this program. It's individualized, and we could not do it without them.
And where does the Learning Lab go from here? I mean, what's next? You've been here for almost 30 years, and it continues to grow because there continues to be need. Even when we look at, you know, our elementary schools, just in the Boise School District, and the number of languages, different languages that are spoken, but also the number of schools that are free and reduced lunch, which goes back to low income. Those numbers have gone up. This issue is not going away. It seems to be getting bigger.
Mm-hmm. I would say. And our spread into the community is getting bigger. We will be in all but one of the branch libraries, including the downtown library, which, have you seen the plans of the mm-hmm. downtown library? Oh, my gosh, what a great space that is for us. Oh, my gosh, it's unbelievable. We are also partnering more and more with Boise Community Schools. We had a program at Garfield School last year, which was incredibly popular. We'll continue this fall. We're going to be going into Morley Nelson Community School this fall. And so I think it's really fun to see these intimate collaborations and partnerships happen at a mutually beneficial way. There are other people who do things differently or better than we might, and we do the same for others, and we're kind of holding hands with them and jumping into the pool together, and it's really, really fun.
And how does this affect our refugee community? Because when they have a place like this where they can come and they can learn English, they can help their children, and there are so many other, you know, things that come along with being a part of the Learning Lab as a refugee when you come to a new community. How have you seen it affect that population as a whole? And maybe, Renee, you can speak to that as an educator.
How does it affect their lives
their
in general?
Their lives in general and you know, being able to access jobs and things
sure.
like that.
Because we are individualized, we can ask them what their specific needs are. So sometimes we're helping a woman know how to talk to her child's teachers. Mm. Some people just want to talk to their neighbors. I've had a student who, in his job, needed to learn to read blueprints. We help students with citizenship, their citizenship test. That's always a fun one, too.
That's
something very specific. We can see them reach that goal. One thing, though, maybe you're going to get to, but we've been talking about refugees. We also have other immigrants as well, and we have GED students. So some of them, most of them are native-born, are mm-hmm. U.S. citizens. And then a few are refugees who need a GED, but usually they're English-speaking, native-born who need a GED. And that continues. That's just an mm-hmm. ongoing need mm-hmm. in the community.
And because it's individualized,
right.
it allows them to be successful.
Right. You know, if you're in a math class with 40 people and you just don't understand, at some point you get tired of being the one saying, oh,
that doesn't
I don't understand. And raising your hand and feeling lost. Whereas if you're one-on-one, you can just go over that as many times as you need to.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in today and talking about the Learning Lab. I think you do wonderful things in our community. So thank you both for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
My guest today, Monique Smith with the Learning Lab, and Renee Johns, an educator with the Learning Lab.